الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقال الرسول: يا ربي إن قومي اتخذوا هذا القرآن مهجورا. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Where the Quran Sharif has got great, great virtues and great merit, as we are hearing. And mashallah, of course, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah alayh, what a great service he has done for the Ummah. And also we should think, did we ever make dua for Hazrat Shaykh? We taking benefit. If somebody was dishing out now some biryani or some sweet meats or something else, everyone will say Jazakallah. And this, what is being dished out, we can't imagine. But perhaps we don't even make a dua for the author, even for the person who's reading, those who organize the program, all this. We have got this beautiful garden. We have got this wonderful dastarkhan. And if somebody invites us on a dastarkhan, on a table, what we don't mean the actual table, the dastarkhan, and all the best of food is there, and we don't even say Jazakallah. Are we even fit to be, forget a Muslim, a human being even? Even animals show appreciation. It is very, very ajeeb and strange how animals also show their appreciation. And we as human beings, so Allah give us tawfiq regularly to make dua for our parents also. And if we make dua for our parents, a lot of barakat will come in our dunya's life. Our rosy health, because that parents are primarily more generally by nature concerned about that. If we make dua for our asatiza, for all our asatiza who taught us alif, ba, ta, sa, everything, lot of barakat will come in our deen. And that is one means by which the love of deen will come into our lives. And the love of all good things. Then once that love is there, a person does it, and he does it happily, and he enjoys doing it. It's no more like a duty, no more like it's forced, no more he doesn't look for any escape routes not to do it. But, and the hatred of guna will also come. So Allah give us tawfiq that we regularly make dua and appreciate all these great, great gems that are being offered to us. And as we read in the hadith, we heard now that these things of this dunya are just for us to understand. Otherwise, the things of this dunya can never compare to the things of deen. The value of deen, there is nothing. How should we know? Like, for example, some people ask also that what's the wisdom of Allah creating snakes, for example? What is the benefit? Though there are a lot of benefits also, but one great benefit was, if there weren't snakes, and we are told of the snakes in the qabr, snakes in Jahannam, we should never have understood what it is. Now that we know this little snake here, though we are all so frightened for a snake, but it is nothing compared. But this snake puts so much fear into us, then what will be those snakes there? So Allah Ta'ala give us that we can appreciate all the gifts that are being offered to us. So with regard to the Quran Sharif, the great ni'mat which Allah has given us, but at the same time, we have to look at the other side of the coin also. That is the adab and the respects of the Quran Sharif, and the etiquette and the rights of the Quran Sharif. There are innumerable rites of the Quran Sharif. We will mention a few which are very, very important. And here, as in the ayat, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to complain to Allah. The Quran Sharif is going to complain to Allah for those who did not fulfill the rites of the Quran Sharif. And here we read about the curses of the Quran Sharif. If the curse of the Quran Sharif has to fall on us, what will be our result? The curse of one's wife, if we ill-treat her, and she's an obedient wife, and she's got no one, she doesn't want to go and complain to anyone. How many of our girls, for how many years they go through difficulty, they don't tell anyone. But when it goes beyond and now it reaches the state where it breaks out, then you wonder how they tolerate it for so long also. But anyway, during that period, if she complains to Allah Ta'ala, and Allah accepts her dua, her bad dua for us, if she made she said something that was, what will happen to us? When, how many cases like this, the result of it is totally disastrous. And now the curses of the Quran Sharif. And yeah, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua to Allah, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّي, and complaining to Allah, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهَجُورًا, that we sort of divorced ourselves. We threw the Quran aside. We threw it behind our back. We had like nothing to do with the Quran Sharif. So the Quran Sharif has got great, great rights upon us. And in this month, where we have to respect, where we read the Quran, the respects and honor of the Quran are also very, very important. And to get the benefit of anything, we have to fulfill, you have to use the thing, not abuse it. For example, today you've got a computer, it can do so much work for you. But if you abuse it, you use it in the wrong way. Or the connections you are making wrong, and the whole computer can blow up also. So instead of it benefiting, how many people work so much, and after so much, instead of saving everything, they delete it. And sometimes how one good friend of ours who wrote a kitab of how many pages, commentary of a kitab, and then it just got all lost. And to redo a thing, we know it's more harder than doing it the first time. First time you'll put your whole heart in it, you'll do it. And when you have to redo it again, it's very, very hard. So the same way, the Quran Sharif also, we can use it to our great, great benefit. But يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا يَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا. The same Quran Sharif can be the cause of our misguidance also, and our destruction also. So Allah give us tawfiq that we fulfill the rights of the Quran Sharif also. We will discuss just a few. The rights of the Quran are innumerable and very great. The first right of the Quran Sharif is Iman bil Quran. That we must have Iman on the Quran Sharif. Yeah, again, myself of course, all of us, we are quite content that we believe in the Quran Sharif. But if we just scratch the surface and let us see really how much is our belief in the Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif as a kitab, we all believe it is the word of Allah. It was revealed by Allah through Jibreel alayhi salam to our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from there it has come to us, and what we have got today, this is the Quran, the kitab of Allah Ta'ala, and we believe in that. So as we believe that this whole kitab is from Allah Ta'ala, so too we do believe that each ayat is also, we believe in each ayat also. With regard to this, on one occasion, Qari Muhammad Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was traveling by train, and in the train, a discussion starts with strangers sitting and some discussion. So there was a person, and in the discussion he told to Qari Sahib that I only believe in the Quran Sharif, I don't believe in the Hadith. And in the discussion he explained that the Hadith was collected after so many years. The famous collection, compilation of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, which is known as Astahful Kitab Ba'da Kitabillah, the most pure, correct kitab, but also after so long, after the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, and in those days, of course, there were no computers, there were no typewriters, there were the recording system that we have got of today, it wasn't there. People recorded on bones, people recorded just whatever they could. So he says it's impossible that the compilation could be the correct and authentic. Qari Sahib, after listening to him, and this is also a great quality that we should learn, that when somebody is speaking, even he's speaking against us, but let him have his say. We just want to butt in and we don't let the person have his say also. Even in an argument at home, where we just started the conversation and the other party just doesn't listen to everything in front, but just butts in and makes a decision already there. So after he had said everything, Karisap told him that from what you say, I understand that you believe in the hadith. He said, you are so astonished. He said, I'm saying with clear words, I don't believe in the hadith. And you are saying, and you are known, renowned person, so intelligent, what a great proficient person you are. And you don't understand my simple language, I'm telling you, I don't believe. Again, Karisap 2-3 times told him, that what from your words, what you are saying, I understand that you do believe in the hadith. Then he asked, how, what do you mean? Qari Sahib said, you say you believe in the Quran Sharif, you don't believe in the hadith. Who informed you that the Quran is the word of Allah? Did Jibreel alayhi salam come to you? Did your mother tell you, your father tell you? Who told you? The hadith told you. He got a shock, he was astounded. That then he realized, I am believing in the hadith. Because if you don't believe in the hadith, you can never believe in the Quran Sharif. Then he realized, so like that with us also, there are many things. We don't realize what our view is also. And yet we are so convinced that I am the know-all. And I am the smart person. And I am the person. I am the guy. I know everything. And we don't even know what we are believing in ourselves. So the Quran Sharif, like we all say we believe in the Quran Sharif. But like take the whole Quran, take the ayats of the Quran. One thing, for example, of inheritance. What the Quran Sharif has declared for inheritance, the basic law is that for males get double than the females. Then there's a lot of detail. And what a perfect system Allah Ta'ala has kept. But like now, presently, with the laws of the country, that women can go to court, and many reports are coming from all those organizations who deal with these matters, whether it is the inheritance, the divorce issues, and they used to try and guide them, etc. But now most of our Muslim women are going to the court. So they are giving preference to the law of the country over the law of Allah. So where is the iman on those ayats? And now we say that we believe in the Quran, but now in this matter, just because there are outward dunya some benefits, temporary for a little while of this dunya, and we give preference to the law of the country, man-made laws, we are giving them preference over the laws of Allah Ta'ala. And how many parda women, they are going to court. And with regard to this is also, when the condition of a person changes, it is unbelievable. On one occasion, in the days when the British were ruling India, there was a matter of a certain property, that to who does it belong? To whom it rightly belonged to was a lady, who was a lady in Parda. Those days Parda was, alhamdulillah, common. And with this dispute, it went to the court. The judge, the magistrate, whoever it was a white man, British man. So when this woman had to go, she said, I can lose my house, but I won't go and even see the face and be present in the court. That the house can be lost. She lost her house. And she was happy about it, no problem. But later when she went to Pakistan, Karachi, the same lady was seen on the streets of Karachi without any parda. How the conditions change. So conditions change like that. How many parda women go to court who are even alimas, and they are teaching and they are well acquainted, but they will go to court and they will take the ruling there because that suits them. And the ruling of the Quran Sharif doesn't suit them. So they don't accept that. So yeah, now we have to think that where does my iman lie? Do I believe in the Quran or do I believe in the law of the country? And many other things also like that. There are more than enough examples that what are we giving preference to? So the matter of interest, for example. their interest. The Quran Sharif has categorically stated that it is haram. And Mufti Saeed Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali, Shaykh al-Hadith of Darul Deoband, when he was asked any question about interest matters, like Islam, not Islam interest, but Islamic banking, all the different and what nice names. One good friend of ours just told us where he's working. He's an IT specialist, and in their company, they had a meeting and they called all the workers. There were about 25, 30 people, Muslims, non-Muslims, male, female, all. And they were going to introduce Islamic finance now into their company. And in there they told them very clearly, only what we will do, we won't call it interest. We will call it profit sharing. So he made it clear, it is interest, but we will just call it profit sharing. And then the further they made it clear that we will need a mufti to sanction it. And we will get a mufti who we will pay. And by pay, they will pay him his wages, but by pay, what he meant is that he will be on our payroll. What we mean, one is a person is on, he works for you, and one is on your payroll, he yabas. Whatever you say, we accept everything. So they said clearly, that is, they just changed a few words. And today, how many of us, it's a the in thing. All the, so Mufti Saeed Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to say, the crux and the foundation of which is interest. And all the Islamic, today all the other Western banks, like Net Bank, First National, Standard, all those banks also, they have also got Islamic banking now. And this was one bank that still didn't have that was introducing it now. So, and all these banks, they also bank with the World Bank, with the bigger banks. And all of this is based on interest. And so you say the things which foundation and crux is interest, how can that be right? So don't even discuss with me this matter. It's out of the question. And so now let us see where do we give our preference to, which side. And many people also come, they ask that we can get finance from the Islamic bank. But they say when we calculated, we saw the interest which is in the Islamic bank, what they call, the whatever is what you have to pay. That is more than from the other. Then they choose the other banks. So their idea is not no allegiance to Islam. It is our own personal, where we see our bread buttered, we just go that side. So then we have to see that how much is my iman on the Quran. Like that I'm a very five times namazi also. And some people even more than they are so much in khanqa also. And they are so much in jamaat also. But when it comes to this matter, on the quiet, then all these things are just covered up and they just living. So where do we really stand? So our iman with regard to all these matters. Just to refresh again, we did mention with regard to men getting double the share of women. This that case in America where two women had given birth and their children got mixed up, one to a boy, one to a girl. And there was an Egyptian doctor also, and he was good friends with one of the American doctors of all the staff there. And that American doctor told him, you're always telling me that the Quran has got a solution for everything. Now find a solution, we're in a big fix here. Our jobs are also at stake. What a mistake has happened here. We didn't do the right thing, and the two babies are mixed up. So he said the Quran will definitely have an answer. He went back to his country, Egypt. He went to Azhar, the university, and he asked one alim, told him, I don't know about medicine, but what I can tell you, ponder in this ayat. وَلِي الذَّكَرِ بِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ, that males have double of what, get double of what the females. So he pondered, Allah opened on him. When he went there, he told him, I've got the answer, but just let me do my little research and investigation. He took the milk of the two mothers and he analyzed it. And the one mother's milk had double the amount of all the nutrients, proteins, everything compared to the other mother. So that made it clear that this, the boy belongs to this mother and the girl belongs to this. The American doctor immediately accepted Islam also. And it is also that in the time of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a similar case there was where the one woman stole the other woman's baby. She wanted the boy. She gave birth to a girl. And then she exchanged it and the case went to the court of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He also said, weigh the milk of the two mothers, their breast milk. When they weighed it, clearly the one mother, the weight of the milk was double that of the other. So he made the decision, the boy goes to her, which was the correct decision. Also, just to help us for today, many of our youngsters, many people unfortunately across the board, especially universities, etc., just for small, small matters, we are saying we no more Muslims. I give up my Islam, etc. So let us see at the, what the Quran Sharif is. One occasion, a professor in a university told the students, an atheist, the professor, that in the Quran Sharif it has come that وَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِنْ قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِ. Allah has not made for any rajul, any man, two hearts in his jawf, in his inside. It's only one heart. So he says that everyone only got one heart. Why did the Quran specify rajul? The Quran Sharif, in his view, it's an error. مَا جَعَلُ اللَّهُ لِإِمْرِئٍ مَا جَعَلُ اللَّهُ لِأَحَدٍ. For no one, for no human being has Allah made two hearts. Why did Allah specify rajul? So there it's clear that for imra'a, for woman, it is possible there can be two hearts. But the woman also only got one heart. So a young boy stood up and told him, sir, when a woman conceives and gets a baby, and then when there's a baby in her inside, in the womb, in her inside, in her jaw, in the inside of her, then that woman has got two hearts inside her, her own heart and the baby's heart. And if it's twins, she's got, there are three hearts in her. And if it's triplets, she's got four hearts in her. So then, فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ. He was totally humiliated and disgraced. So this is the Quran Sharif. How true it is. And can we give up this for anything else in the world? Impossible. We can't give it up. A person and all of us, we should try and speak where we got these acquaintances, these other people who are getting influenced by all these people. Let us understand. So every ayat of the Quran Sharif, till today, capital punishment, though it's not meted out anywhere, and no individual or group, for in order it must be an Islamic Khilafat government, Islamic government. Saudi Arabia, where they used to till recently, it was the only country till recently, unfortunately, they also abolished it. When we were at one time, the beginning Hajj, then one alim there explained, we didn't see this for ourselves, but on a Friday, he came and he explained that they just had there was a point where life has to be taken. It is done in public as the Quran Shariat wants it. It must be in public and it must be witnessed by the public also. People, it should be announced. And he explained the whole scene, that person who was to be executed, he was brought there and the person who was going to execute him, he came just like out of the blue from the cloud, a crowd. And with his sword in his hand, and in one, he just went fast, and in one shot he severed his head, off his head. And then he said, for about how many days, how many weeks, in months in Medina, people were just like tight-lipped. They just couldn't take it. So, وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ الْحَيَاةِ. That in qisas, Allah says there is life in you. In taking a life, Allah says there is life in you. One life was taken, but thousands of lives are spared. And the Western law, Roman law, you save that one life, and the rest of the lives, the people are being killed all the time. Yeah, you take that one life, and the people, same way, they became, they couldn't, they were just, like in a different state. They couldn't understand what is happening. And a person won't think of murder. Today, which is common, that criminals are walking the road free, day and night, while the lawful citizens have to make their own houses prisons. Where do you find burglar bars? By the prisons. Today, every house has got burglar bars. And all the cameras, the prisons are supposed to have it, because there the crooks are, and they will escape from there. All the fencing, and electronic, all these things, every house, is a prison for the citizens. The lawful citizens are all in prison, and the crooks are walking free on the street. So this is their result. An Islamic system, you cut one hand. But who of us really believe and accept it today? When the capital punishment, which is stoning to death, have one person stoned to death and see that adultery will go off the surface of the earth. And you don't even have to wait for one person. Just when the law will be made, that now, from now, anyone found guilty of adultery will be stoned. Just that law will be sufficient to stop about how many people. And if anyone steals, one case will be made, one example. And adultery is a scourge of society. It destroys. We don't understand. We have gone so accustomed to it that for us also to have 10, 20, 100 girlfriends is in order. But to have 4 wives is a problem. To have a second wife is a problem. Polygamy is a big problem. But to have enough girlfriends is no problem. And Allahu Akbar. While we are on it, this AIDS bimari also. Allahu Akbar. When they studied the Quran Sharif, for 4 months and 10 days, the iddah of a woman, if the husband passes away, and he gives divorce, talaq, 3 months the iddah. Why the specific amount of 3 months and 4 months and 10 days? When they analyzed it, they found that a woman, when she has sexual relationships, and the semen of the man, which goes into the womb of the woman, is there. It stays there for this period. For 4 months, 10 days, 3 months. 4 months, 10 days, when the sorrow and sadness is according to that, when the husband passed away, it stays for 4 months and 10 days. If it's a divorce, it only stays for 3 months. Now, if another man has relations with her, so now that semen, when it mixes, this causes the AIDS. So that period, that whole semen, the effects of it is gone. Now another man can marry her. Now it is permissible for another man. And therefore, man can marry. The question people ask, that for if AIDS is between man and woman when they're sleeping with different partners, and it causes AIDS, why Islam can allow 4 women, and they don't get AIDS? If you marry 4 women, no AIDS. So it is that it is the in the womb of the mother, the semen which is there. And another man, if he has to now go and have relations with her, then that will have. If that 4 women, they are chaste, 4 women, Muslim women, he's got 4 wives, you sleep with one wife, you share out whatever it is, your 4 days, 4 weeks, however you have made your arrangement, but no other man is coming, they won't get AIDS. But when another man comes, then that AIDS comes. So this is what Quran Sharif is. Perfect kitab. It is by the maker of man, the giver of man, the giver of the laws is Allah Ta'ala. And no scientist, no medical professional, nobody can know these things as what Allah Ta'ala knows it. One Canadian doctor, non-Muslim at that time, he had written a book on the formation of a child in the womb of the mother. And he wrote it all from medical point of view, with all the x-ray saunas they have, all the scans and all those things. And at the end of the book, he appealed to any person in the world, if they can throw more light on this subject, how a child is formed in the womb of a mother, but not from a medical point of view. He says that knowledge we have got, and we, with all our details, we have got everything, but from another source. A Malaysian doctor wrote to him, and wrote him the source and the references of the ayats of the Quran Sharif. He was totally amazed that at 1400 years ago, when the word gynecology was not in existence, when there were no x-ray machines, no scanning machines, no saunas, nothing, and the Quran has explained it so perfectly and in so detail, step by step, how the child is formed in the mother's womb, and he studied it, and then he accepted Islam. Till some years ago when we discussed this, they said that his books were still taught in medical colleges, still today. Now at the moment, I don't know. So this is what the Quran Sharif is. And our iman is on every ayat of the Quran. Whether it's capital punishment, whether I understand or not. For example, we see our buzurgs, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, which we had a relationship with, we knew commonly, somebody would ask about a hadith, and if it was not authentic or something, Hazrat's answer was that I haven't seen this hadith. He wouldn't say it isn't a hadith. Like, for example, what is the correct way? We were here now in our gathering, and somebody asked, was so-and-so there? So one answer is, no, he wasn't there. The correct answer, I didn't see him. Maybe he was there, he was sitting, but because you don't know doesn't mean he wasn't there. Because I didn't see him doesn't mean he wasn't there. I didn't see him. Even for namaz, so and so, was he present for namaz? I didn't see him. But we will say commonly, no, he wasn't there. And how many times we have in the madrasa the dispute of the nazim with the student. Students say, I was there, nazim say, you weren't there. And when they take the roll call, etc., this is a common thing that happens. So anyway, the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, gives us the first thing, is that complete iman on the whole Quran Sharif, on every ayat of the Quran Sharif. And we have to think that how much is my iman on capital punishment, how much of my iman on interest that it is haram, how much of my iman, as Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes, all our buzurgs, in their time, 80 years ago, 70, 80 years ago, when every effort is being made to make interest halal. And today, of course, it is made by the ulama, it is made halal. It is a common thing. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when people used to write and he used to say it's haram, then they used to persist, and this is also nature of man, somehow or the other you want it convinced. Also our buzurgs, one beautiful saying, they say, when a person wants to make do something haram, then he will go to an alim and he wants the alim to tell him it's jais. And so our buzurgs say, if you want to go to Jahannam, you go. Don't make my neck your bridge. That with my words, I must tell you it's halal, and you want to involve me also to go into Jahannam. If you want to go, and you are happy to go, that's your choice. But don't make me the bridge in order to go to Jahannam. Don't put me also into Jahannam. So Mufti Sahib then should say, you should, all the ayats of the Quran, hadith, he should say, there it's written, you are saying it's your necessity, you can't do business without it, you can't live without it, you know your necessities, and this is what the Quran Sharif says. So you make your decision, whatever you decide now. So that is quite clear. So today, to have iman bil Quran, every aspect of the Quran Sharif, to have it. So many things we think we are believing in. But if we have to analyze it, then we will see. One friend just told me after Zohar that his father had passed away, and the Qaza Namazes, he kept the record, and now it goes into about 500,000 rand to pay for the Qaza Namazes. And then another friend met me just when we were coming for Asr. So he said that got me thinking also about Qaza Namazes. then like for most of us, generally it is, when a person is baligh, is about, in those days, then it's 7th grade, 9 now. Usually a boy, girl, that time, we are not really conscious of namaz. Until we get married also, when people are going, we go. Ramzan, Taraweeh, we go. But the other four namazes, that we must. How many people now are keeping their rozas, but namazes we are very lax. Some of us know namazes whatsoever. Some of us we just according to the mood and according to the occasion we make. But how many of our namazes are qaza? And then when you got married, again you weren't making. Till perhaps you don't know when you started. And now when you are now properly in sunnah, you are making five times namaz and we don't think of that. And when we become conscious, if you do become conscious, then you realize that how many namazes are qaza. And for the kafara of it that you have to pay, when you work it out, you get it's astronomical. There's so much that you have to pay. So if we become conscious, and his father, towards when he became conscious, all from tahajjud time, whatever time he got, he was making his qaza namazes. But still all the others still came out to such a huge amount. So Allah Ta'ala make us all conscious also. Now today we became Mawlanas, we are Qari Sahabs, we are Ustad, we are everything. But how many qaza namazes? And we are not paying. And the children might be thinking, my father is a rich man and has so much money. But when there's once in the family, one person also, and then the children, Allah gave them the understanding. They say, we don't want anything. First those namazes must be paid. And properties had to be sold to pay that qaza namazes. And of course, according to Shariat, it's up to one third if the person didn't make wasiyat. Up to one, even if he made wasiyat, up to one third that you have to pay. But when we realize that he has to, for one namaz qaza, you have to go for one huqab in the fire of Jahannam. And that is how many thousands of years for one namaz, if justice is done, Allah didn't make maaf for one namaz for how long in the fire of Jahannam. So Allah make us conscious. So anyway, to have iman on the whole Quran Sharif. And iman, normally we refer loosely, iman is the theory of iman. You have to believe in one Allah, akhirat, etc. Then yaqeen, that is the quality, the actual, how much we say I believe in it, but how much is my conviction on it? In my heart, deep in my heart, how much yubashiru qalbi, that it has gone in the crevices, that it can't come out from there. I can die, but my iman can't come out. That type of iman, as we explained, about that sahabi who said about his brother's stomach problem, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told him honey over and over. Then when he came the third, fourth time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, give him honey. Finally he got his cure. In the honey he got his cure. When he was in, so that yaqeen on the words of Allah Ta'ala, that what I see with my eyes is not the truth. What Allah has informed, what is in the Quran Sharif, that is the truth. That is what is a mu'min. More yaqeen on that. And then that was the level of the Sahaba where they had reached. That complete conviction that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu writes a letter to the River Nile, which we can't understand today. That how can you write a letter to a river? And when the Egyptians, it was their practice that the river, in order for the water to flow, they had to sacrifice a young girl dressed beautifully with her jewelry and everything. And then they believed that now the river will flow, our lands will get irrigated, our farming will carry on, our business, our livelihood will carry on. When the Muslims went there, they said, no, how can this be? That is what the Islam changes the tide. The whole river's direction, it changes the opposite direction. A river that is flowing in one direction, iman makes it make that river flow in the opposite direction. The whole country was immersed and they believed in that. When he wrote to Hazrat Umar, this is what Umar wrote a letter to the river. And he said, put this letter of mine in the river, that if you are flowing of your own strength and power, you're a god of your own, you're doing things of your own choice, then we are not in need of you. And you are flowing by Allah's will, then you flow. After that, the river without any more. Till today, the world can't we see, we're talking of women's rights. Till today, really, the woman should be sacrificed like that. And they are being sacrificed. They are made not only to walk naked on the streets, and no advert is also without a woman's picture. And she's being sacrificed. Her modesty, which was the inner part of a woman, her sharam haya, more than what men have of her sharam haya, and examples are given of a young girl of her sharam and haya. That woman have got this, but today it's sold open on the market for any and everyone to enjoy. Those women are just free on the market. And today, with the worst from the evil of the cell phone and all that, all the porn and women selling themselves, and what Islam had done, it changed the whole time. Gave women, as one great alim writes, that the women go to Rawdah Mubarak and in the salam, that you who gave us our value. That Islam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, you gave us our value, how women were treated. And till now, how they are treated. When we were in Pakistan, in Jamaat, in the 70s, there was an American woman who had come to, also who had accepted Islam. And she came. We were not in that Jamaat, but she had come. And after a few days, she realized and she donned the burqa also, parda she came. And when she saw herself in a mirror, she burst out crying. Then all were wondering, have we upset her? What has upset her? Then what she said, that this is the first time I saw myself as a woman. When I was open like that, I wasn't a woman. Now I know, which we call masturat, the covered ones. That is a woman. A woman is one who is covered, not a woman who is open. That isn't a woman. That is worse than an animal also. But a woman is that. So this is what Islam has given the world, the modesty. So to have iman on every ayat of the Quran Sharif, whether it is capital punishment, whether it is a matter of interest, whether it is a matter of gambling, whether it is a matter of insurance, whether it is anything else, this is what is that iman of a mu'min must be on all these things. Iman on our rozi. Hazrat Hassan Basri Rahmatullah Ali says, in 99 ayahs, Allah promises rozi for His creation. And where? Like for example, it's famous when Musa Ali Salatu Wasalam, we heard many times from our Shaykh, when Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, when Musa urida dhul jalali wal ikram, that Allah Ta'ala is the being of jalal, His majesty, His grandeur, His greatness, wal ikram, the ikram, the generosity, the kindness of Allah is so widespread. So he said, I want to understand this ayat. Now we all understand it, all with looking in a dictionary, looking in the tafsir, but the other understanding of it, that which comes in your heart. So Allah told him, take your stick and hit on a rock. He hit on the rock, it split into two. One part Allah said, hit again, it split into two. One part of that Allah said, hit again, it split again. And down in the crevices of that he found a worm, a live worm, with a green leave in its mouth. That is ikram, dhul ikram. Allah Ta'ala is that great, that power of Allah, dhul jalal, and that Allah provided the rozi, and that ant wasn't just an ant or insect there, but it was living, and it was making the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Subhanalladhi may yarani. Pure is that being who sees me deep in the crevices of this rock also. وَيَسْمَعُ كَلَامِ And he listens to my talk also. وَيَرْزُقُنِ And he sends my truckloads of my rosy right here into in the crevices of the rock. We might think, how is this possible? But you take your guava, you take your fig, and you are enjoying it so sweet. But when you look, you see an ant. Where did the ant come in there? From where did the ant come in the middle of that guava of yours? And who is giving away the oxygen coming for that ant? It can't live without, nothing lives without oxygen. Air. And so where, who is looking, who made it there, and who is giving it, and all its necessity Allah is giving there. This is the Qudrat of Allah. So our Iman must be 100% on the Quran Sharif. So that is the first point, that Iman bil Quran. And I have to check myself, how many times we will talk against polygamy, we will talk against capital crime, in different words we will say it. And we will be supporting the West, this nudity and same-sex marriage and all that. Just using some little other Islamic words, we are promoting it also. How many of our Muslim organizations, so-called, we are promoting all this? Then where is the Iman on the Quran Sharif? So the first requisite is Iman bil Quran. And we have to see, and otherwise we are going to be in the court of Allah, and the Quran will bring its case against us. Where are we going to stand in there? Yeah, in this courts of the world, if there is some proper evidence, we can't, even if there is no evidence, but it's a worry, it's a hassle. We have to do so many things, and with bribery, today the white is black and the black is white. Today it is so common, everything just goes haywire. Well, how are we going to stand up in the court of Allah? Allah give me, give us all tawfiq, and make dua also that Allah give us proper relationship with the Quran. The first, that our iman be proper on the Quran. Allah give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah.